He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and the three words I'm going to use to start off the show are up, up, and up. All the same word, of course, as any listener can hear. But this is what's going on. Prices are going up due to several factors. Labor costs are up. Parts components are up. And accessories for vehicles are up beyond the base prices. It's going on all over. Vehicles, and I will use the Jeep Cherokee as my vehicle of expertise because I own a couple of them. I bought one new. I bought one through Carvana, as regular listeners know. And I now have several Mulroney sheets on Jeep Cherokees for 2022 model year. And of the five that I printed off, the lowest priced vehicle Jeep Cherokee on the Mulroney stickers I got was $37,495, which is higher than some of the Jeep Limiteds that used to be available 2021 and earlier. And I've been perusing these sheets, and the base prices of these vehicles are now starting in the mid $35,000 range, as opposed to the low $31,000 to $32,000 range before lots of accessories, some of which have become standard equipment on the models. You can't delete them anymore. Have raised these base prices to the levels that I just have mentioned. Then you go to the luxury vehicle lines of cars such as Cadillacs, Range Rovers, and Stellantis's latest Jeep lines and the Grand Wagoneer, Grand Cherokee lines, all of whom have vehicles that are now six-figure asking prices or higher when loaded up with various accessories, all of which seem to be being built in the cars that are being delivered to dealers lots these days without concern as to whether they've been pre-ordered or not. These vehicles used to be in the five-figure range, high five-figure ranges, approaching six-figure ranges, and now you can go onto these dealer lots of the three aforementioned vehicles makes and see their sticker prices sitting there at $100,000 and up, as opposed to $100,000 and down. Now, $100,000 is a round number. There isn't such a vehicle that I know of priced at $100,000. But the point is that prices are going up. Cadillac has got a line coming out, the V line, and they claim that buyers are eager to be able to buy Cadillacs and go down the road at eye-popping speeds, accelerated eye-popping speeds. I don't know what's going on with the market. You'd think that people would be worried about cost of vehicles, but not up in the luxury levels. Reading one of the headlines on the Cadillac V-Series badge, what they basically do is they're going to build these V-line Escalades, I don't know how you pronounce this, which is a big SUV like the GMC Yukons and the Chevrolet counterparts. The engine is going to be a 682 horsepower engine in this particular line of vehicles, and the Escalade product manager says customers are eager for an Escalade that can just scream down the road. There's a description of how a description of how what buyers want in some of these major lines of vehicles that can go faster and eat up more gas, chew up, you know. And these are combustion engine vehicles. These are not electric powered yet, although electric versions of these vehicles is going to be coming over the next few years, as some of these manufacturers claim that they're going to be going all electric by sometime into the 2030s model year vehicles. And the electric ones may be even faster. I am tired of seeing what cars and vehicles can do from the 0 to 60 situation. They claim that this Escalade V-Series can go to zip from 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds. That's very fast for a vehicle that probably weighs close to 3 tons. But I do not know anybody that really generally wants to buy the vehicle and actually use it in that way. And this goes for all these electric vehicles, high-powered sedans that are all available throughout many car lines as people keep asking for special editions and the manufacturers keep making them for these people. It's nice to have a bragging right, but boy, with gas prices well into the $5 and up range for premium in most states right now, and I don't see them coming down too soon. It's going to be interesting to see if people really want to buy vehicles with engines that are going to give you 13 to 18 miles per gallon ranges in different driving conditions. And they come with 25 to 30 gallon tanks. And gasoline for these vehicles will be premium grade, required if not recommended, or recommended if not required, which is going to be putting fill-ups well into the $100 to $200 range if gas prices remain where they are currently heading and are already reached in many states. It's blowing my mind reading the headlines in this particular week's automotive news. Range Rover Sport redesigned, high-tech advances, higher price. Escalade zips even further up market with V-Series badge, which I've just discussed. This is what industry trade papers are writing about.
Don't you think that it's, in a funny way, I don't know who it's for. It's so disconnected from reality. But I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I'm going to mention it again about the person at, because I'm speaking of up, you know that I'm keeping an eye on prices, which is just ridiculous because we've talked about the fact that just in terms of gas, petrol, the prices aren't going up as fast as they're going up at our local gas station. So there is a decided cutoff between people who have to either buy their gas and then cut back on other stuff, or the people who can just keep spooning gas into their cars. Now, so part of the argument, which is preposterous, is, this is going to get people to buy electric vehicles. Well, guess what? No one's going to have the money to buy. The whole thing is so foolish.
Let's transition this show into the electric vehicle craze, which is, of course, being supported by the problem of the gasoline pricing.
Yeah.
For those that can make electric vehicles, as we know, Tesla's been the number one electric vehicle maker for some years now. But Hyundai and Kia are fast possibly becoming the number two seller of electric vehicles in the U.S., at least in this one article I've been reading, waiting to to make this show. There's no question that the electric vehicle cars are sort of racing at us much faster because of things that are going on in the combustion engine, in the fossil fuel business, and the increasing availability of electric cars, which, to be frank, really mostly started with $40,000 and up sticker prices. This is before the so-called incentives that are available on national and in some cases boosted by state incentives at the moment. But as in the up, up, up start to this show, component prices are rapidly increasing. There's an article that says that some tech prices for some of the technology that's been going into the vehicles, whether they're combustion engine or electric, have more than doubled in the past 12 months. And that, along with the other two components, which are accessory costs, well, cost for accessories but over the base price and the associated labor costs and transportation costs probably as well, it's going up through the industry, are going to make these cars that you call unaffordable even more so as we go forward. But let's switch to used car situation, because apparently, there's an article I'm reading here that says high-flying used car retailers are having very bad business difficulties because prices are not going up, are not continuing to go up on used car sales as they were. And some of these used car retailers, and Carvana is one of the ones mentioned, and Vroom is another one, which I know very little about, who are laying off people and suddenly finding themselves in a possibly major, well, they might even be in a survivable, a question of survivability.
Right. Wall Street Journal, May 11th, Carvana cuts staff.
Right.
But on the other hand, the real estate section, just for your New York Times real estate section, May 8th. Hey, you want an electric car. Where are you going to charge it?
Well, we've been talking about locations and availability of car chargers outside of your home garage, if you're so able to have a garage where you live and put a charger in. The reality of this problem of availability and possibility of shortages and long lines waiting to jumpstart your electric car range. And I say jumpstart instead of recharge, because jumpstarting may be a situation of where you get 15 to 20 minutes at a charging station. I don't know whether this is going to actually happen. And then you're going to have to unhook the car because the line is so long that people are going to have limitations on the time that they can actually use a charging station.
I will make you a bet, by the way, because if you go back and look at photos from the turn of the last century with everybody had their cars plugged in, you watch. There's a reason that I think we're going to go to water. But this is an interesting article in the New York Times only because it's, A, as I said, in the real estate section. And basically what they're saying is you better make arrangements. So you're getting an electric car. That's great. You have to make an arrangement in your garage to do that.
Well, this is going on, you know.
Expensive it is.
In England, there's going to be a requirement that all new construction requires the installation of a charging port as part of the electrical system of any built homes from new, and this may actually end up happening in some areas in the United States. Whether it can be dictated by the town's building codes or not, I don't know.
But how long from now and retrofitting? I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to be as difficult as it sounds. I'm just saying, hey, there's more than writing. Yes, there's the article, and then there's the functionality of the stuff that people are really trying to do, which right now...
Well, a listener to this show who will hear this probably went out into the field to find out what it would cost him to add an electric charging place to his garage. He does not have a electric-only vehicle. He sticks with the hybrid, which is what I have, which does not require such a component. But it's approximately, depending on what the level of charging level capability of the system is, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,000 to $2,500 for a base level charging station. And we talked on an earlier show about oncoming 800 volt systems, which will enable much faster charging capabilities of batteries. But it's also going to require a completely different electric line capacity, a capacitive electric line into your house to be able to provide one of those kinds of charging ports at your house, which maybe nobody in their right mind will do.
I'm going to read from this and interrupt simply because, you know, this person probably did a Google search, and it basically says installing a 240-volt outlet can become expensive. It's not a DIY project. If you're
electrical, it is not a DIY project.
You need a licensed electrician. If your electrical panel has plenty of space and is in or near the garage, expect to spend a few hundred dollars. If you live in an old house with a small panel, you might need to upgrade to a 400-amp panel, which could cost as much as $4,000.
Right.
And if the panel is far from the garage, it may add to the expense.
You know, true, but right now you do not need these panels for, in many cases, for anything, even including Teslas, because I have a friend who has a Tesla, and he has plugged it into a 110-volt line at his house, and while it takes all night to, or maybe longer, to charge the battery, if it's in a seriously depleted level, up to, let's say, 60 to 80%, which will get you, or get him, enough daily range for most of the driving he does on a daily basis, it will not do anything to help him in a quick need situation if he were to suddenly decide to go on a 300-mile trip, so to speak, and he has a severely depleted battery. But you can do it on a 110-volt line, and he is doing that because I see it. He's got an extension cord out to his Tesla, hooked into the Tesla charging cable, and it is plugged into a 110-volt line in his house, and it is a long process. So there are all sorts of levels, just like there are all sorts of levels of buying vehicles, depending on what options you get or have to take the vehicle with, because you can't get a vehicle specced to what you want to pay if you want to pay less than all these elaborately specced out vehicles that are showing up on dealers' lots now. It's part of the up, up, up opening statement in this show.
Your up, up, up is, but it's really, I'm curious as to when the people who have more, shall we say, are going to say, you know, wait a second.
Enough is enough?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to have much of a choice, quite frankly, looking forward to the situation. There's either going to be a population of people that will never be able to afford a new vehicle, as there already is, okay? There already are populations of our society that can't afford to buy, have the pleasure of buying a new vehicle.
I've got people
even though
who can't
they
afford
try to make, they lengthen the
can't go
loan
any longer.
Times. You know, there's some loans up to 8 years now, 96 months.
Yeah, that'll
try
work.
To keep the monthly payments down to within affordability range. And while vehicles are designed to be able to survive and go 6 to 10 to 12 years, it's the desire to have something new that interrupts that capability in people's heads many times and keeps us, as it can be for a long time, in motor vehicle debt. I never bought a vehicle. I was never able to buy a vehicle for cash in my entire history of buying vehicles. And I very often financed them at almost was either 0% down or maybe not more than $3,000 to $5,000 down, and then at terms that range between 4 to 6 years. And yes, it enabled me to buy some interesting and fun cars to have. I always maintain they were my children. And but I tell you, after you've gotten into the, after you've gone through 3 years of payments and you're into the fourth or fifth year,
yeah,
you have to decide whether or not you can avoid wanting to buy an upgraded version of what you financed 3 to 5 years earlier, and or just stay the line, hold the line, and just pay off your 5 year loan and keep the then 5 year old vehicle for the next several years without any payments necessary, and hope that you don't get immersed in repair costs, which, fortunately, is not the problem that most people have. But there are a lot of old cars on independent dealer used car dealers across this country. And one of the places I observe them is in Westport, Mass., where there's a Route 6 roadway, which probably has it has a multitude number of used car dealers, and they are loaded with cars that are available for purchase at prices. You see them when they put them in the window, $3,000 to $8,000, many of which are probably perfectly good vehicles. But since the people the reports we read in the papers like the New York Times and Wall Street Journals never go out into the field and talk about these dealers. They talk about the used car dealers at your Ford through Cadillac dealerships, or Carvana or Vroom or CarMax and all that, all of whom are buying used cars, reconditioning them at sometimes great cost, which could be over $1,000 a vehicle depending on the condition, and then marking the prices up so that they can make a profit to make their business plan work. And this is what's happening to Carvana, Vroom, right now, because they were so infatuated with their success that they started out into the field planning on expansions and adding car prep centers, with Carvana buying, apparently they're about to close on, a auction house that used to cater to the mainline manufacturers, and at a cost of $2 billion. They're going out to borrow the money to do it. And I understand that they're having to borrow it at 10.25%.
Well, how are they going to make that? I mean, we've got a minute and a half left, so we don't have to talk about the intelligence of financing. Thus, not so. How would you like to end this show?
Well, I'd like to say that I drove through the states of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York and Rhode Island over this last weekend, and I'm watching gas prices. And you know, the gas prices in Connecticut are at our near to our broadcast booth area. The prices are now at or over what they were just before they were told that they had to reduce their prices by 25 cents a gallon as of, what was it, April 1st. Now all these prices are above those original prices before the dropping prices, and they're going up beyond that. It is expensive, but I did not see a diminution of vehicles on the public byways. There was the usual buildup in traffic delays on 95 as I came into Connecticut from Rhode Island, at various places where they generally get bogged down. And as it was a Sunday, everybody was on their way home from wherever they'd been all weekend. The gas lines at the pumps along 95 all had cars filling up at 4:59, 4:49, and these are regular grade posted. They don't post the mid-grade and super-grade prices because they don't have room on their signs. But at 4:49 to 4:59 and up, super is in many cases over $5 a gallon. And you see the Mercedes, the Audis, the Jaguars, high-powered cars all having to put super in there. People are driving regardless of what the cost of gas is.
Yep.
As far as I could see.
Yeah, and that tracks with what we see. You have used up that time wisely and well. Thank you very much. He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.